Hello and welcome. It's hour number four of our radio program, a peek ahead to NFL week two, the sexy game of the weekend involving Baltimore and Kansas City, and Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson saying that he is not worried about the 0-3 record he has head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So how important is it for Lamar Jackson to finally beat Patrick Mahomes in the head-to-head matchup? We get to that and much more right now in hour number four. A Raven flapping their wings. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we pinch pennies coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and extremely powerful, don't touch, microphones of FSR emanating live from the ground, the playground of life, the Fox Sports Radio studios in the Northwoods. And so our lead this hour comes from the NFL. We have a game tonight. We will pick the game, handicap the game, marginal handicapping coming up in a few minutes with Benny versus the Penny for the Thursday night game. We gave you a winner last week. We told you to take the Cowboys, take the points. Cowboys covered the point spread. So if you bet on Dallas, you won some money last week. So we'll do that coming up in a little bit. But our lead this hour comes from the land of crab cakes. And when you peek ahead to the schedule this weekend, and you say, what's the big game? Week two of the NFL season. Well, it's obvious. It just jumps out at you like a sore thumb. It's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs taking their traveling road show to Baltimore for a date with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, the star of the Ravens flock, attempting to downplay the buildup as it is being promoted on the billboard there, all about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. This is what it's all about. This is the headline here. And so if you didn't hear what he had to say, and maybe you missed it, maybe it slipped past your sonar, I'll give you the audio. So here's Lamar Jackson asked about having a poor record, hasn't won a game yet against head-to-head with the rival quarterback of his, Patrick Mahomes, and he says he is not dwelling on the poor performances.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes, not to me, you know, probably to everyone else, but, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, three times or whatever, but that's in the past. We you know, we got a better opportunity this time to come around, and we take the advantage and win in our home stadium. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we come a Sunday night, and we're going to play.
So it's not about me and Mahomes, of course. He says this every year. He's been in the NFL a few years now. I feel like we've gotten some version, not exactly a carbon copy, but some version of this year after year after year. And everyone in unison rolls their eyes. They all give the old eye roll, right, when this happens. So let us discuss the question, how important is it for Lamar Jackson to finally beat Patrick Mahomes in the head-to-head matchup? Well, in the big picture, you can lose every game if you're Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes. It's like, well, he's still, if you beat everyone else, you're okay. But it destroys the argument that the Lamar Jackson marching and chowder society has when head-to-head Lamar Jackson is a lightweight and Patrick Mahomes is a heavyweight. It just destroys any kind of debate on sports talk radio or anywhere for that matter. So now my take on this, you've got crash, punch bowl, and scorecards. And we'll put all of these things together. Make the Baba Ganoush! We're going to make the Baba Ganoush. All right. So to kick off, it is imperative that Lamar Jackson, if you want to have an argument left against Mahomes, this would be a good time to step it up, right? Ravens gave a game away last week, handed a game to the Raiders. It's really Lamar Jackson that handed the game to the Raiders, but this is an extra juicy subplot. The marketing arm of the NFL is selling the quarterback. They're taking a page out of the old NBA playbook where it's LeBron James and whoever versus the other team's top player. Well, the NFL wants to do that as well. They've done it for several years with the quarterbacks. That's the currency of football. And every man, woman, and child knows this is the gospel. The headline quarterback gets the attention, and Lamar Jackson knows. He even referenced it. He says that it's not for him, he says, but probably for everyone else. And we know that Lamar is not only aware of it, deep down, it's got to really upset him. And you're not going to say it, right? But this guy consumes the media. He's on social media all the time. Every year, Lamar gives the standard boilerplate response when asked about this question about Mahomes. And it's a paint-by-numbers situation. It's a crash. A Crash Davis special. Right out of that movie, the old baseball movie, Bull Durham, the Crash Davis handbook, Lamar has developed the standard default cliche-filled responses. Predictable program. Downplay the hype. I'm waiting for him to say, I just want to give it my best shot, and the good Lord willing, things will work out. I'm waiting for that quote. We're going to get it one of these weeks. Lamar's going to debut that quote. Now, furthermore, Lamar, if you look at the matchup here with Kansas City, he has been absolutely flummoxed by Andy Reid's team and Patrick Mahomes in the head-to-head. If you go face-to-face, belly-to-belly, toe-to-toe, and it's not pretty. If you go to the numbers. I'll go to the numbers for you. Three games, Patrick Mahomes 3-0. On the other side, obviously, Lamar Jackson 0-3. Losing to him each of the past 3 years. We've gotten this matchup the past 3 years. And if you look at Lamar Jackson against the rest of the NFL, he is 30-5. That's an .857 winning percentage against everyone else in the NFL, which includes last week's performance against Las Vegas. And this is the fifth time now, the fifth time in the last 25 years that a MVP quarterback has lost three starts against an opposite MVP quarterback. And Mahomes winning the award in 2018. Lamar Jackson came back in 2019. He was the MVP with that redonkulous, unexpected, out-of-body experience for Baltimore. And you know, he was the second unanimous selection for the MVP. But the only other quarterbacks to lose their first four starts against another MVP were Peyton Manning, who tanked on Monday Night Football, had terrible ratings, and Matt Ryan. Right? Both those guys did it against Tom Brady. But Lamar Jackson, he's actually tied with Matty Ice. He's tied with Matt Ryan. The nerds have looked up the numbers here for the worst winning percentage in a head-to-head matchup of NFL MVP quarterbacks. Minimum three starts. Matt Ryan against Tom Brady is 0-5. And by the way, the Buccaneers, the Patriots of the NFC South, take on the Atlanta Falcons. And so Matt Ryan will either go 1-5 against Tom Brady, good luck on that, or he will go 0-6. And that, if you look at Lamar Jackson and all the stats and all the accolades he's gotten, this is the turd in the punch bowl. It is the turd in the punch bowl. It is the albatross that he has to carry around until he gets off the schneid, as they say in sportscasting camp. And his passing stats have been wobbly. It's not like Lamar Jackson has been amazing in these games. And he's really leveled off as a passer. And the further we get away from that MVP season, the more and more Lamar Jackson is looking like the player many thought he would be. Great running player, not a great passer, and has been unable to get those big chunk plays consistently throughout a game. For example, in 17 straight games, we mentioned this earlier, for those of you that were not listening, bad job by you. But 17 straight games now with less than 250 passing yards. He is closing in on the record over the last 21 years. The record goes back to 2000, and that's the modern era. And Lamar Jackson, 17 straight. Another Raven quarterback, Kyle Bowler, 21. So Lamar is 4 weeks away from tying Kyle Bowler. Five more games of less than 250 passing yards away from beating and owning the record for the last 20-plus years. Now, the last thing here. So I know there's a devil's advocate argument. I know that side of the aisle that will point out that Lamar Jackson is not playing against Patrick Mahomes. That Lamar is playing against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And while this is true, it's irrelevant. In fact, it actually makes things worse for Lamar Jackson, right? Because when the final buzzer goes off and you go to the judges' scorecards, and if you check out the scorecards, you know, how did you do against your contemporary side by side? And you look at the numbers and you see how bad the numbers are. Lamar Jackson's completing barely 50% of his passes against Kansas City. He's averaging 170 yards passing per game. That's it. He's thrown three touchdowns, no interceptions, has a passer rating of 78.8, which is not good. That's not good. In three games against the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes has completed 70% of his passes. He's thrown for almost 380 yards per game. So he is over 200 yards more per game than Lamar Jackson, and nine touchdowns, one interception, a passer rating of 116. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And the reason this is even worse for the Lamar Jackson marching and chowder society, as we call them, is Mahomes is doing it against Baltimore's defense, which is known as a top-flight defensive team. That pedigree for defense they have in Baltimore. Kansas City is not exactly a brick house. They're not on that side of the ball. Now, they've been better recently, but a couple years ago, they were made out of paper mache, that defense. And the Ravens, I'm confident they're still going to figure it out and they're going to be okay. But that beginning to the season there where they just gave a game away against the Raiders, Lamar holding the ball like a breadbasket, that's a bad job by him. And really, the moral of the story, it's not so much about Lamar Jackson, it's more about Patrick Mahomes, that we are reminded yet again that there is no equal. People are trying desperately for an equal, but he is the political candidate that is running unopposed against this generation of quarterbacks. And Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, you look at his contemporaries, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar, these guys cannot hold a candle to Patrick Mahomes, but yet people still trying to pump him up and hype him up and say, hey, you know, this guy, that guy, that's the way to go. And you just wait. And you just wait and see. It's going to happen. Okay. I'm sure that's going to happen. Unless it doesn't. The Ben Maller Show on Fox. On Fox, we'll take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox. We'll have Benny versus the Penny. Benny versus the Penny. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Thursday Night Football tonight. The Giants in Washington. Eddie will have Puck the World. And we'll have Fact or Fiction later this hour. The usual festivities on a Thursday. And we'll get to it all. And we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, it's at Ben Maller on Fox. And you can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And we will have the pick. The pick is in for the Thursday night game. We got football action tonight. Woohoo! Greatest time of the year. One thing about the NFL, those of us that do this for a living, even crap teams like the Giants, who haven't been relevant in many years, and Washington, who I think has a chance to be pretty good, but it's not like they were amazing last year. They made the playoffs because of the division, but you're still fired up to watch that. At least I am. I may be a loser, though. Why don't we get the pick in right now? Here, let's get this going here. I got a pick tonight. We got the open there.
Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. Benny versus the Penny.
So, Benny versus the Penny. I pick all the games on Friday, but I picked the Thursday night game appropriately enough on Thursday. And so we'll do that right now. I actually had a winning week, although my best bets went 0-2. But I had a winning week overall in the NFL in week one. So that was a good start to the season. Marginal handicapping on every game. So Thursday night football tonight, the Giants 0-1 and Washington, the old Redskins 0-1. It's on the NFL Network with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. Now, Washington originally was a 4.5-point favorite in this game. The line has been pretty flat all week, though. It's at 3 points. The weather will not be a factor. It's going to be 73 degrees, mostly cloudy in Landover, Maryland at kickoff. I'm taking Washington this game. I actually like Washington a fair amount. I generally try to find a reason to pick home teams. On Thursday night, last week I took the Cowboys because the spread was a little wonky. I'm going the other way, though. I'm taking the home team here, and I'm going to lay the 3 points with Washington. I'm betting against the Giants more than anything. The Giants defensively were beat up pretty good by the Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater. They were able to matriculate the ball down the field, allowing 420 yards and 24 first downs to Denver. It's highly unlikely that much is going to change for the Giants on a short week. We know Taylor Heineke takes over as the starter for Washington. He's 0-3 in games he's played in with the team in D.C., but he's got solid numbers, so it's a weird deal. And I'm also betting against the one team that Daniel Jones has done well against, and that would be Washington. This guy is a stumble bum, Daniel Jones, but he is in his happy place. At least he has been so far in his brief career against the Burgundy and Gold. He is 4-19 against the NFL at large. Against Washington, he's 4-0 in games he started, and he's got pretty good numbers. Hasn't fumbled yet against Washington. I say that comes to an end. Streaks are made to be broken, and I'm on the side of Chase Young and that Washington defense. And also, I believe that the former Redskins will be able to run the ball in this game. And I can't say the same thing about the Giants. Saquon Barkley did not get out of the gates very good. He tripped right out of the starting block. I'm taking Washington 27 and the Giants 20. And the penny picks.
Ben, the penny disagrees with you going with the Giants.
What a dumb penny. Dumb. I'm telling you, Washington should be favored by more. That seems like an odd point spread to me. And it does. I mean, it seems weird. There's a lot of people betting on the Giants. They think that the Giants are going to come back here. I was flipping that. The Giants game against the Broncos last week was in my rotation. And the Giants are who I thought they were. At least in that game they were. We'll see if they show up and represent a little better in this game. It is the Ben Maller Show. We'll have Puck the World coming up in a little bit. To the phones we go, and let's say hello. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. We have Phalexis in Buffalo. Hello, Phalexis.
Hey, Ben. I'm doing my picks. I'm going with the penny, and Broncos, Bills, and the Jets. So that's the drag queen.
Hey, you picked the Bills every week, so you should. We don't even need the Bills pick. Have you ever bet against the Bills, Phalexis, on your drag queen
picks
of the week?
One team I ain't going to pick is the stupid Rams.
Well, why not? You would have won money on the Rams. You should have bet on the Rams against the Bears. Bad job by you.
I don't need money. I'm a drag queen. I'm a good fairy. I just snapped my fingers. I got money, honey.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Can you send me some? Because I can't snap my fingers and get money. So if you can, you got a little extra laying around there, Phalexis, you can send it my way.
You need to take care of those mosquitoes first.
What?
Hey, get a can of off. That's good for mosquitoes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to do that, unless I'm not. Mason the Millennial is next. Hello, Mason the Millennial in the Bay Area.
Oh, my God, Phalexis. What is he, she ever saying? Hey, but what's up, Ben? I just wanted to say what's up. Talk to the crew. I will be going to my first NFL game this Sunday. It's for me and Coop's team, the Broncos. It's going to be at Jacksonville. Should be fun.
So you're going to travel to Jacksonville to watch this game. You're going to get
That's
on
right.
a plane and fly. You're going to spend. Now, are you just going for the game, or are you going to go? You have family in Florida, or what's going on with you?
Yeah, my brother he got tickets. It's like club seats, like third row, right behind the visitors' bench.
Okay.
So I'm
here's
really
what I want
excited.
You to do, Mason. I want you to go jump into that pool they have at Jacksonville. Can you do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. It looks like fun. You know, it looks like a good time. They still have the pool, right? They were on the road last week. I assume they still have the pool. Yeah. All right. Have a good time. Yeah. Well, and you think when you think great football environment, you think Lambeau Field, you think Jacksonville, side by side, very similar.
I know I'm not too happy about the location, but for my first football game, but it's okay. But also, I have a Deshaun Watson conspiracy theory. Can I get that off my chest?
Well, you don't have to ask. Just spew it. Start talking. Go ahead.
All right. Cue the conspiracy music, please. So, hear me out. What if Deshaun Watson, because there were rumors about him wanting to get traded and him not being happy in Texas, and, like, what if, like, since they weren't budging on trading him, what if he conspired this whole thing with the massage therapist and stuff? And, like, obviously it's a really bad look, but, like, it's not something new, like, among players. Obviously his name will be stained forever, but, like, I think it's a possibility, like, because they weren't trying to trade him, and obviously now,
Mason,
now he has no chance of playing in Texas.
All right, Mason, first of all, you're doing a terrible job of selling the conspiracy, okay?
Well, give me some pointers then.
Well, you tossed in a bunch of weasel words like maybe, could, like that. No.
You little weasel!
You've got to say, listen, here's what's going on. I know Deshaun Watson's gardeners, cousins, friends, mailman.
Oh, yeah, because right? of the radio, a guy on a radio thing that you're talking about earlier.
Yes, yes. We did a monologue about a guy that called into the radio in D.C. and claimed that Ryan Fitzpatrick was actually injured at a water park, and I believe that guy. I'm buying that story, but very believable. You were not very believable, Badger. So you believe that Deshaun Watson went out and had 30, 40 massage therapists, whatever it was, and he did this intentionally, and he was a creepster to all of them to get traded. Is that what you're saying essentially?
He wasn't a creepster. He just got females at his disposal. Like, hey, you want to be in the limelight? Get your face shown for a little bit. Get a little chat on the side. Like, I don't know. I said, it's really kind of dumb on his part.
You should hang up on yourself right now, Mason. Hang up on yourself, please. All right, thank you. Yikes. All right, it's Ben Maller's show. We have Tom the Terrible. Terrible Tom, is he there? One of my favorites. He's a seasonal caller. He only calls during football season. Hello, Tom the Terrible.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? I want to talk about my Patriots. Boy, they really look good. You know, they got good defense, good offense. The quarterback looks great, and everything's good. But they get the same stooges as far as the coaching goes. They get rid of, what's his name? Retired. Shump's guy, Nicky, retired.
Yeah, they get, offensive line coach. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, they get Curly Patricia. They got him back. So the Stooges, the three Stooges are back together again.
Now, what do you think, Tom the Terrible, what do you think of the running backs for the Patriots and their ball security?
Yeah, it had a good. It was a great last play. They had the game won. It's a fumble. But that's these coaches. These coaches are... You know, Mo Belichick and Larry Patricia, they're no good. I don't know. I called one of the shows up. I said, they're average coaches at best. They don't get mad at me. You know, I've called people and I said, Mo Belichick isn't that great a coach, and they hung up on me. But I still don't think he's a great coach. They got a good team.
Well, Tom, how do you feel that everyone you call, every radio show, you call a lot of radio shows, and every show that you call, they think you're goofy. How does that make you feel?
Well, you don't think I'm goofy, do you?
No, I get a kick out of you. I think you're fun. I like you. I like your shtick. I think you're good.
Listen, yeah. Who is that, Shirley?
Because I'm right. You know I'm right all the time. But no, they're all worshiping Belichick. You know, that's crazy, I think. I'll tell you something, Ben.
Yeah.
If Brady was their quarterback last year, they had a crappy team last year. If Brady was there, he would have been in the playoffs. Of course, he would have lost the playoff game because they have such a lousy team. But that's all Belichick cared about, getting in the playoffs, having a better win-loss record. I think that Miami coach is safe. He's safe with the record. I don't think Belichick's going to get the record.
So you, Don Shula, the late Don Shula, there's nothing to worry about here. That it's all good. Everything's good.
That's right. I don't think he has all to worry about anything. The late right. Don Shula, yeah.
All right.
He's all set.
All right, I got to go. Thank you, Tom. All right, the great Tom the Terrible. And that guy's legit, by the way. And when I was moonlighting doing some stuff in Boston a few years ago, and the Patriots were actually winning. They won the Super Bowl one of those years. And this guy still would call up, oh, it's Belichick. They'd be better without Belichick. It's Belichick's the problem. Blah, blah. You go, oh, he had the same rant, same talking points.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben, I don't know if you saw the video of this, and a little bit misleading, but, you know, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. In that Yankees-Orioles game, an umpire, Tim Timmons, made headlines when he ejected the grounds crew at Camden Yards. Now, apparently it looked like it was going to rain, and all the guys ran out there on the field, and they were hovering over the tarp that's kind of up along the first base side
in anticipation
of having to, you know, bring the tarp out because of rain delay. And Timmons gave him the heave-ho. He said, get out of here. A lot of people thought he actually had ejected him, but he was just telling him he didn't want them out there on the field until it actually started raining. And they
That's how umpires do it when they want somebody to leave. They just do the heave-ho.
They do. I mean, it did look like he was ejecting the entire grounds crew. And they all ran off the field, but... The reality is he didn't eject them. He just told them to get off the field until they were needed. So,
yeah. I didn't see that, but I did see the Cedric Mullins channeling old school. You know, we remember Gary Pettis and Devon White and guys like that.
Base Steelers, yeah.
No, the guys in center field that would climb the wall and go over the fence and take home runs away.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, that's a better example, Ken Griffey Jr. But Cedric Mullins, I told my guy Sports with Coleman, I said, this guy Mullins is playing too well. He's going to get a clemency and leave the Orioles. He's going to get presidential pardon and be traded to a good team. He went over the fence there, and he was skywalking, taking this home run away. That is awesome. The timing on that, beautiful. It was a wonderful play by Cedric Mullins. He's been very effective for the most part. His numbers pretty solid this year. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. And back over to Eddie we go right now because somewhere... there's hockey news. I did see a hockey story that caught my attention. We'll see if it makes the cut this week for Eddie and Puck the World. But right over to Eddie we go. All the hockey news not fit to print.
Well, Ben, you know I work in radio, so math is not my strong suit. But I think I'm pretty much in the ballpark here. The preseason for the NHL will start in 10 days, September the 25th, and the regular season... they will drop the puck in 25 days, October the 12th.
10 days. Wait a minute. Hold on. Today's
NHL regular season.
25th? That would be 9 days, right? Isn't today the 16th?
Today is the 16th of September, yeah.
So 9 days.
Okay. I'm close. 10, 9, same
thing.
What are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
You were in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
The area play there. Anyway, Pittsburgh Penguins will start the season without Captain Sidney Crosby. The team announcing the two-time MVP will be out at least 6 weeks after undergoing wrist surgery. GM Ron Hextall said that Crosby had been dealing with the injury for years, and the team had exhausted all minimally invasive options before deciding surgery was the best course of action. Anaheim Ducks forward Ryan Kessler says he will never play in the NHL again. He's coming off left hip surgery in February. The 37-year-old had right hip surgery in 2019. He's played 15 years in the NHL with the Vancouver Canucks and Anaheim Ducks. Now, he's not announcing his retirement. because he still has 1 year remaining on his six-year contract that'll pay him $6.6 million. If you retire, you don't get that money. So he ain't retiring, but he says his NHL career is over. Former Tampa Bay Lightning and Arizona Coyotes head coach Rick Tocchet has been hired by Turner Sports as a NHL studio analyst. He played 18 years in the NHL, won the Stanley Cup with the Penguins in 1992. Now, after having a couple of abbreviated seasons and complaining constantly about having to pause their season to send players to the Olympics, the NHL has decided they will send players to the Winter Games in Beijing in February of 2022. Now, they did skip the Winter Olympics in South Korea last time in 1998. So why are they going back to the Olympics? Because
money.
That sweet Chinese market money.
Yeah.
Those eyeballs. And oh, yeah, they're going to say, we love China.
That is the biggest market, Eddie. If you can get in on China, you're made. The NBA, they sold their soul for China.
They certainly have.
And the NHL will do the same thing.
They would if they could. The NHL Olympic, or excuse me, not the NHL, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee has rejected an American think tank's request to fire Stan Bowman from his position as GM of the U.S. Olympic men's hockey team. Bowman is GM of the Blackhawks. He faces allegations that he helped cover up a sexual abuse scandal back in 2010 of a couple of Blackhawks players. In an email, spokesman John Mason said that he's asked the USOPC to commission an independent investigation into Bowman's behavior as GM of the Blackhawks. We mentioned this the other day, but Sylvain Lefebvre out as Columbus Blue Jackets assistant coach over his decision to not take a COVID-19 vaccination. He's the second NHL assistant coach to part ways with his team because of this. San Jose Sharks associate coach Rocky Thompson also stepped down from his role because of the vaccination situation. And finally, Fred Stansfeld, who won the Stanley Cup in 1970 and 72 with the Boston Bruins, passed away on Tuesday at the age of 77. Known as Steady Freddy, he scored at least 20 goals in six consecutive seasons. He played 914 games for the Bruins, Blackhawks, North Stars, and Sabres. And that is your Puck the World report.
Oh, Eddie, you didn't give my story.
I didn't? Well, I saved it for you.
All right. Is it true, Eddie, that a St. Louis Blues prospect was robbed at the famous Gateway Arch in St. Louis this week?
The first I've heard of it.
Yes, the Blues general manager, Doug Armstrong, Eddie, said in a prepared statement that the player is safe and local authorities are working to apprehend the suspect. No further comment. A 20-year-old and a 22-year-old man were on the arch grounds just before 7:30 when a man with a gun ran up and demanded their property, took cell phone, keys, wallet, and purse. Then the gunman ran off into the night. So there you go.
That's no good. Welcome to St. Louis.
Yes, yes. He will demand a trade immediately to another. The team should have told him, "Hey, welcome to St. Louis. Don't actually stay in St. Louis. You might want to go somewhere
else." I've never
been
to St. Louis. You ever been to St. Louis?
I have not. I've not spent time in St. Louis. I have friends that love it, but I've not spent time there. So toasted ravioli. That's what they're known for, right? That's the local
toasted
dish.
Ravioli. Oof.
Yeah, that's what they're known for.
Sounds good.
It's a St. Louis
good.
Dish.
And Cincinnati's nice. I want to go to
Cincinnati's chili. St. Louis
Skyline Chili.
Yeah, St. Louis is toasted ravioli. Every Chicago deep dish pizza. Every town's got a food they're known for. Philly cheesesteak. Right, go down the list. So anyway. All right, so the Ben Maller Show, we are going to have a spicy hot edition of Fact or Fiction. If you'd like to be a judge, call right now, 877-99 on Fox. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From peasants to patriarchs, everyone is welcome in the secret society that is the Maller Militia. Listen live from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, but catch up on shows you missed on demand around the clock via the podcast. Tell your friends and enemies about the virtues of the Ben Maller Show. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio content and give us a 5-star review. It helps supersize the Maller brand. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Please transmit immediately.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Is it fact or fiction?
Let's face some raw facts.
Lies, 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 yeah.
On the Ben Maller Show.
Fox Sports Radio.
And it is time for Fact or Fiction. So three stories. We don't have much time here, so we'll have a few of our celebrity judges on. We always go with the power couple. We have Jack the Judge and Leslie. Good morning, Leslie.
Ben, how are you?
Bradenton, Florida there. Everything good with you, Leslie? Yes?
It is. Come on down.
All right. I need to. I almost met you in New York a couple years ago. I got to. Our schedules are going to line up, Leslie. We're going to hang out one of these days. It's going to happen.
So.
All right. Now, hold on, Leslie. Blind Scott is in Boston. Hello, Blind Scott.
Hey, I've been sending offensive emails to Gaskin for the podcast. My phone got stuck on speaker. It's a blind phone malfunction.
Oh, okay. Can't you see the phone and change it?
Yeah, well, I got to hang up, so I don't want to lose my place. I can picture Leslie in a bikini right now. She's beautiful.
All right. She's a lovely woman. John in Vegas. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Good morning. How's everything in Vegas?
Right now, it's actually 70 degrees. It's starting to cool off finally.
Okay, balmy. It's getting balmy. All right, well, hold on a sec. You all will be one of our judges down. I think that's all we have time for. So here we go. Story number one, the Fashionista, the 2021 Met Gala.
Number one.
This week, and it was all the rage. The Institute in New York there, the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute in New York City. Russell Wilson wasn't in attendance, but he was represented. Wilson's wife, Sierra, wore a long, sparkly Seahawks green dress with Russ's number 3 across her chest. Unless, why would you wear that? I mean, it's a real fashion show. It's kind of lame to wear that. Story number two, Tyrone Woodley surprisingly losing to YouTube star Jake Paul in their boxing match a few weeks ago. Part of the stipulation of the match was that the loser had to get a tattoo exclaiming their love for their opponent. Well, seems Woodley is trying to weasel his way out of the bet. Woodley revealed some new ink on Tuesday, but there was no reference to Jake Paul anywhere. Woodley explained that the bet didn't say the tattoo couldn't be covered up. It's under there, he said. And story number three, SpongeBob, the Hall of Famer. SpongeBob SquarePants, Rocky's great Larry Walker and Expo legend. He found out when he was going to the Hall of Fame back in January that, you know, he was very excited about it. He went viral. He was wearing SpongeBob SquarePants, a shirt, and the shirt that he was wearing is now going to Cooperstown, unless it's not. All right, those are the three stories, Fashionista, Mallor Maneuver, and special inductee. Leslie, one, two, or three, Leslie?
I got to go with number three. It's adorable.
All right, thank you, Blind Scott. One, two, or three?
Number three from the LGBT.
All right, John in Vegas. John.
I'm going with the tattoo, number two.
Two, that's it. Two's the fake one.
Got a murder, got to go.